Okay, let's actually take a look at the end of Perek Aleph, because sometimes when you have 1 week to look at each Perek of Perek Avos, you focus a lot on the initial Mishnayos, and the ones towards the conclusion of the Perek don't get as much attention. So here in Mishnah Yud Zayin, Shimon Beno Omer, Shimon the son of Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Yamai Gadalti Ben Chachamim. I was brought up in a house of Torah, a house of Nesiim, and I spent a lot of time around Chachamim. So I learned a lot firsthand from great people. And one thing that I took away that really left an impression on me is that the best thing you can do for yourself is to be quiet, to be careful, be judicious about the words that come out of your mouth. Shtika is a very great virtue. Okay, interesting ha'ar over here. The Chida points out, notice Elashon lomatasi leguf tov, for the body. If you want to give me fitness advice, so that I understand, guf would be appropriate in this line, right? If this was nutrition, how to eat, so lomatasi leguf tov would make sense. But shtika seems like a question of midos, a question of yerushamayim, a question of the neshama, of ruchnis, right? So how come we didn't say lomatasi leruach tov el shtika? Interesting ha'ar. Number one, Lo Medrash Hua Iker El HaMaisa, not completely separate. He says that beyond the Medrash, beyond the learning, that's not always the main thing. The Maisa is important, right? The person has to be Lilmo Ramonas Lasos. There has to be a purpose. You can't just learn about Sukkah and Lulav, how to do it properly. You got to get up and do it. And you have to exemplify your learning in your behavior, not just in the intellectual pursuit. And finally, Lo Amar B'Dvar Mevichet. And the last statement, which seems to come back and maybe explain, elaborate on the first statement, Chomar b'devar mevichet. The more you talk, the more likely you're going to do an avera. So it's not so clear why this is different than the first statement. L'matasi l'guftav el shtika. Maybe we can try to draw out a little bit of what he's trying to say. So many of the mafarshim, the Rambam included, when you see this line, Chomar b'devar mevichet. So he points us, for example, to a pasuk in Mishlei. Bro dvarim liyachdal pesha. Shlomo HaMelech says that the more you talk, the less likely it is that you're going to be able to avoid averos. And we know there's so many things a person can say that can be hurtful to another, that can be under the category of lashon hara, sinas chinam, and we know how serious these averos are, and they're responsible for a catastrophe such as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And when a person doesn't put in check, there are people who just keep talking. They're afraid to be quiet. They're afraid to be in a silent room. They're afraid to seem in a conversation that they don't know what to add. So there's a danger. It's almost impossible to not be stuck saying something inappropriate or something that you're going to regret if you don't have a filter and if you are the individual in a group setting who always needs to be speaking. Now, I think the way with the Chidah's Ha'ara we can differentiate between what the Mishnah is adding in that last line of Chol Amar B'Dvar Mevichet and what about Lo Matasi L'Gotav V'El Shtika? What is the Shtika that is being added? So if we turn to the Bar Tanura Pshat in the Mishnah, Lo Matasi L'Gotav V'El Shtika is not simply saying that if you're quiet, you'll avoid saying things that you regret. It's more than that. It's something very specific. Explains Bar Tanura, Mi Sheshomei Acher Paso V'Shosek. You know what this tremendous virtue that Rabbi Shimon is trying to convey to us? It's in a specific circumstance where someone insults you. Someone says something negative against you. They've hurt your feelings. They've exposed a certain vulnerability. And they call you a name. Or they call you out on something. So your knee-jerk reaction is to go on the defensive. Sometimes the defensive is to deny it. Very often the defensive is to fight back. And to return the favor. The best thing you can ever do when someone insults you or embarrasses you, puts you to shame, is not to respond. Not to respond. Those who are embarrassed and don't go back, return the favor, embarrass the person who embarrassed them, they hear their flaws and they don't respond. The Gemara says about that person, interesting follow-up, that's a person who does Vodas Hashem out of love, Usmeichem Yisurin, and he rejoices in Yisurin. Right? He hears someone say something demeaning, he doesn't answer, that is Smeichem Yisurin. That's an example of someone who rejoices in his suffering. Aleim HaKasuv. Omer, the Pasuk, describes that person as Oavav Ketzeis HaShemesh B'Gvurasa. Someone who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the sun, the strength of his radiance. What do all those components mean? How do they come together? And how do they end up as the pshat in this line of the Mishnah of Lomatasu L'Guf Tavel Shtika? So explains the Chida in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos, Yemin Avos. You'll find this also quoted in the Sefer Olam HaVoda by the author of Olam HaMidos. I think page Kuf Pei Alf. Efter L'Harcha V'Adav, the second line. We imagine that the concept of suffering in this world serving as a kapara, that when a person undergoes tragedy or physical pain or illness, Rahman Aslan or Parnasa, right, those yisurim are machaper. They allow a person to undergo a little bit of pain here in this world rather than having to undergo Gehenim in the next world. That's what the kapara of tzaras are. He says, the greatest, the Ramak, Ramosha Carvero, Greek Mekubal, Talmud of the Arizal, the greatest form of sigufim, of suffering, is not going out and going to the mikvah in a frozen lake, as some Halakha Tzaddikim did. The greatest form of suffering that afflicts a person, more than a tainus, more than fasting, that's machsher, the nefesh, that prepares it to be purified, is someone who hears his cherpas, who hears his flaws, who's insulted, and he's quiet, and he's mochel the other person, and he lets it go. Ein tzadik baratz asher lo yachta v'tzara kam sigufim v'taniyos harbe. Every person, even a tzadik, taka needs that physical duress and that physical suffering to create that kapara. O kabals yisurim v'aniyos v'chalayim. It could be poverty, it could be sickness. Chayotze, Rachman al-Tzam, we should never know from these things. I should call Echem Hem Marmi Mavis. Many of those things, you know, person in those situations would tell you, I'd rather be dead. I don't have to go through this. What's my life worth living? Achamavra al-Midosav Ochav V'shosav Misparnes B'tov. V'honosav Miskapram. But he says, you know what? The form of suffering that a person undergoes when they're quiet, they're insulted and they don't fight back, they take it, and they don't return the favor, that pain, that suffering of being insulted and not responding is a more effective form of sigufim, of purifying tzaras, that you can have that, never lose a penny, never lose an ounce of your health, move on with life, overlook it, and that's why the Mishnah says, L'matzasi l'guf tov el shtika. Being quiet preserves your guf, preserves your gashmis, and your experience in this world, because you're purifying, you're cleansing yourself on the ruchnis level without having to undergo that suffering on the physical level. Not now, and not in the level of Gehenim in the next world, all because a person is silent and just takes it. This is not gonna respond. It's not gonna go anywhere. It's not gonna solve anything. If I return the insult, it's not going to silence that person, most likely. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so quick to insult me. The best thing you can do is just be silent. And the Vilna Gaon, famous letter that he sends to his family, makes the same point. He says, a person every moment a person's silent and he closes his mouth, he is entitled, he will be endowed with a greater illumination, or agon is the hidden light that he will experience more than any malach or any creature could possibly understand or fathom. And all that he says on the heels of stating that the greatest restraint that a person needs to exhibit, how does a person need to undergo suffering in this world? Not through tanisim, not through sigufim, by putting a harness over his mouth, as it were, to keep it closed, and to restrain his taivas. And sometimes the greatest taiva is you need to answer back. You need to go on the defensive, chas v'shalom. A person can be quiet, isha chavetz chaim, if yam liros tov, he'll accomplish that, just to close her both sides. The Vilna Gaon says, every moment and moment, interesting phrase, just an interesting parallel to what the Or HaTzadikim says. It's not a coincidence that Hashem gave us two gates. Number one, our lips, and number two, our teeth. Before our tongue, which creates the sound, and before the vocal cords that emit that voice, there are two restraints, there are two obstacles that prevent them from coming out, to remind us how easy it is to be quiet rather than speak. And that's really what we, more often than we activate that response, that's what we need to do. But take advantage just to be quiet. Think 2 seconds, one rega, two regaim, the mouth, the lips, just, and the teeth, just one, two. Think before you respond. You will not regret it, because you will not say things marbe dvarim lo yachto pesha, and ultimately it will be the best thing that you can do for your life. That's the lesson of this Mishnah Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Rabbi.